Generate is supporting my vision to improve the financial literacy of 100,000 Kiwis by sponsoring Keep the Change. Cheers, Generate. Head to generatekiwisaver.co.nz/change to find out more. Getting in the KiwiSaver fund that suits you and your situation is key to making sure you're maximising your investment. Generate are an award-winning KiwiSaver provider with a track record of long-term performance, and they can help you do exactly this. Their advisors can meet with you to talk about all your options when it comes to KiwiSaver to help you decide what's best for you. Too many people never get KiwiSaver advice, but not you. Go to generatekiwisaver.co.nz/change to book a no-obligation chat with a Generate advisor. A copy of the product disclosure statement is available at generatekiwisaver.co.nz. The issuer of the scheme is Generate Investment Management Limited. And of course, past performance does not guarantee future returns. Welcome back. You're listening to another episode of the Keep the Change podcast. And we have another very, very important but also scary topic for you today. Mikey, what if inflation is here for a decade?
This is a beast, eh?
It is. There's so many ways to tackle this.
Yeah.
And the first thing we're going to tackle is asking the people to leave a 5-star review on one of the podcast platforms. Or if you're on YouTube watching, leave a comment to help the old algorithm pick up this channel is actually active now, and subscribe, like, all that sort of stuff. That would mean a lot. Back on social media, put something on your social media. That would be awesome. That would help people understand what they need to do if inflation's here for a decade.
Oh, that is a good little caveat at the end there.
Thank you.
Yeah, nice. I think if inflation's here for a decade, man, that is a first and foremost, I think it is. It's going to be here for a decade because inflation is a constant.
Mm.
It's part of the system. It's a feature, not a bug. Like it is a problem. Like the fiat monetary system runs on it. Do you know how many periods of deflation we have had in the last 100 years?
Wouldn't a clue.
Two.
In the last 100 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
So every other time, so this is 1930 to 1933, there was a period, and then a portion of 2007, 2008.
Shit.
So in 100 years, 95 of them have been inflationary, varying levels, but that's how the monetary system works. Every now and then, we fuck it up and overdo it, but it's always there. So if you're scared of it now, then you should be scared of it forever, which we'll talk about that part later on, because you shouldn't be scared of it forever. But
we did a podcast some time ago that was basically looking at what if there's no growth for a decade. And it went really well. And I said to Mikey, perhaps we need to explore some other things over a decade, like what if inflation's here for a decade and things like that. So there'll be a couple more along these lines. But I suspect that most people know what inflation is now. And I actually spoke to an employer who employs over 100 people. Now, for context, 97% of businesses hire less than 20 staff. So only 3% go past 20. So to hire 100 staff, you are in the top 0.1% probably of hirers in the country. Now, he said, it's very interesting to me now because so many of them know about inflation and they come to their discussions around their pay based on here's inflation. And he said, most of them get it wrong and they're highlighting some number from ages ago. But years ago, that wouldn't happen because we didn't have to think about inflation because it was under control and we just sort of seemed to get on with it. And that was for geeky economics to talk about.
And it didn't feel like it was affecting your life. It was, but it didn't feel like it.
Well, most people should understand inflation because they love housing inflation.
Yeah. Exactly. That's a great way to look at it.
Yeah. So we all get excited about that and like, oh, my house got worth more. Yeah. Well, did it?
Yeah.
Or did your money get worth less?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Hang on. No, my house is worth more. I went on the website and it tells me. So we learn about inflation that way because it's exciting for us.
Yeah.
But we forget, oh, yeah, go sell that. Now go buy next door. Well, shit, that place has gone up the same amount as well. But when it comes to geeky, boring, costs are getting more expensive, I'm not listening to Stats NZ. I don't want to watch that fucking news story. That's boring. But over the last few years, it's almost been compulsory to understand inflation.
Yeah, man. It is it's a interesting thing, inflation. I mean, we've done pods on it before about like truly what it is. I mean, here we're going to talk about what it means, if it's going to be around in a elevated way for a decade, right? Because we know it's going to be here. We might even have a period of deflation in that time, but we know it's probably like, if we're starting from 2021, let's call it 2031 by the time this period is done, you know, it's already averaging like 7 or whatever.
Yeah.
So we're going to see, I think at the end of the decade from 21 to 31, it's going to average around like 4 to 5.
Oh, 4 to 5 for a decade. Oh, baby. Yeah, and let's set some context for this, because basically we're recording this in late February, so it might go out in March. But all the chat at the moment is Reserve Bank got this one covered, mate, be back within 1 to 3 by the end of the year. And oh, there'd be a lot of relief. And so I'm thinking, because I always like to test myself and be like, okay, if I don't buy into the hype, because remember as well, we were told inflation is transitory. So everyone did that. And they said, oh, it's a global problem. So you had two reasons not to care about inflation. Well, they were both proven wrong.
Yeah.
Because inflation internally, domestic inflation is still really high. And it's decreasing in other parts of the world. So the narrative of, oh, it's a global problem, seems to have gotten quieter. So we're trying to critically think, fuck, what if these people have it wrong again? And for the next 10 years, we have 4 to 5% inflation. Let's hope for 4 at the worst. But
yeah.
But what do we need to know and what do we need to be thinking about in order for us to accept that if that were to happen, we are not the ones that get blitzed? So this is a little bit of a testing of your thinking so that you don't just fall into the trap of, oh, she'll be right, mate, because they get it right so often. Like, they got us here. Can they get us out? We'll find out.
Couple of numbers to frighten you.
Uh-oh.
Okay. So if we go look at wage inflation over the last 3 years, it's around 6.3%, right? Right.
So does that mean our wages are increasing by 6%?
Yeah.
Yeah, gross. Gross. And then we lose our tax off that.
Correct.
So, yeah, probably 4% after tax.
So that's Q3 2020 to Q3 2023. I pulled this data off the RBNZ website, right? What's the minimum wage at the moment? Like 50K, 55K?
Yeah, just over 48 from 1st of April.
Okay. So I took 55K just because I thought that was minimum wage. I don't know, more or less.
Yeah, it's probably closer to a median or an average. Yeah.
This is why inflation is terrifying and why your wages going up isn't always a good thing. How many times has the government changed the tax brackets while wage inflation has been occurring in the last 20 years? Not including the one we're about to have.
In July. Probably nuts.
Yeah, I don't fucking know. Maybe once, I don't know. So if we replicate out what we've seen and then take this 3-year average of 6.3% in wages, in 10 years, the minimum wage must be $101,000.
In 10 years?
Must be. Wow. If we use that. In 20 years, a minimum wage earner enters the top tax bracket.
Sheesh. Over $180,000.
$186,000 at the current rate.
So is that saying the minimum wage is going up by 6% each time, or is that to keep the buying power?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's if wages continue to compound at this rate, every single person who has employment in the country will be in the top tax bracket, because they're probably not going to index the tax rates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they might get some pressure from it, but all you like tax the rich fuckers are going to be in that category.
Yeah, wow.
So having some critical thinking about this stuff and understanding it and what problems it can cause is quite important, because it makes me go, shit, that's interesting. I would be in the top tax bracket. I either need to work out how to protect myself from that, or just move away from my mind space of like, we need a 45% tax rate, or we need to 39%. Those people can afford it.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be in it, you know? So
I think these are the people as well that'll be like demanding that it changes, and they're probably then voting for it as well. So then we fall back into the trap of like, they'll solve it all.
We're actually I call it marketing, but that belief is actually asking for this.
Yeah.
You know, like it's your own demise if you go down that road. And, you know, if we take history, it looks like it's coming anyway. So regardless of that, that's just to scare you about inflation, because it is scary. And if we cook it and overdo it, it ruins stuff. And I think if this happened, you know, I don't think it'll be this bad. I think tax rates will move and stuff like that. But if this happened, you'd start not trusting your currency, man.
Yeah.
Because you're like, hang on, I'm on minimum wage. I'm in the top tax bracket. I can't save because everything's going up at like 6% a year or whatever. The fuck is left for me? Fuck the dollar.
Mm.
So they're going to have to be careful, which brings into like the conversation, like the big blue bank came out earlier in the last couple of weeks being like, more hikes coming. And I'm guilty of it, man. Like September, October last year, mortgage 1 year interest rates were, you know, low to mid sevens, and they've just been slowly trending down since then. And I would have called that the peak.
Yeah.
You know, we went from 7.39 at some banks down to 6.89. And I'm like, that would have been the peak because the market's also getting ready for these cuts that are coming later on this year.
Yeah.
And then like, boom, inflation's actually nowhere near
1 to 3%.
Nah.
Yeah.
And there needs to be more work done. And the only tool they have is to take money out of your pocket and force you to put it into your debt servicing costs.
Yeah.
So you don't go and spend it on $7.50 coffee.
I think as well, people have gotten excited about interest rates decreasing and inflation coming down, which is cool because we were told for ages it's bad, it's bad, it's bad. We were told that there's no issue to start with, then it's bad, it's bad, it's bad. But we're getting it under control.
Transitory.
It's going to get better, it's going to get better, it's going to get better. So there's that like, we're over the worst part of it, which is fine. But think about how long it's taken from the OCR, the official cash rate, to start going up for us to get here, where people are like bleeding and hurting. Now we're at record highs of people being behind on credit. There's record applications for hardship and mortgages and stuff. Like people are, it's surprised me how long it has taken to see this much hurt in the economy. But like you've said a number of times before, it's not then just going to go like back to normal. Great. We all get to go back to what it used to be like. Now we have to ride the wave of like, okay, now we've got to go down and my debt doesn't roll off for another year, for another 2 years. And shit, I wanted to have a baby in that time. We've had to decide not to have a pet because we just simply can't afford it, or we don't need that second vehicle, or now Luke has to catch the bus or whatever it is. And that's going to take time if it goes perfectly like that. But we know that it doesn't normally go like that. You look back at any interest rate cycles and whatnot, they're not perfect curves. They're basically like grindy airs or like up and down
and long
and slow. And we've got to live through that. You know, we have to go through it.
Yeah, it's interesting. If you go back to in the USA, like the 70s, we can look at the last sort of period of inflation issues and what happened there. And it's so interesting to look at because from the pandemic when inflation started, like you were calling it out earlier, and then it started and then it started becoming a problem, and then all the forecasts started.
Mm.
OCR will peak at 3.5. Here's this beautiful bell curve of it coming back down by late 23.
Yeah.
Then it was like, 4.5 late 2024. Then it was 5.5 late 2025. Still perfect bell curve. None of like this stuff.
Yeah.
But if you go look back at any inflationary period in history, it's like scattered with ups and downs. And like this great inflation, they called it, of the 1970s in the US data, they had a period where it went to like 7, like we did, then -2, so proper deflation.
Sheesh.
Then to 15.
Far out.
Because they jacked rates, ruined the economy,
yeah,
crashed everything. And they're like, fuck, time to re-stimulate. No, people haven't forgotten like what happens when you do that. Let's go out and get cheap money and do it again so we can protect ourselves for the next one.
Yeah.
Like not enough behavior had changed in time for that. And then they had to really turn the screws in and put it into like a proper recession, you know?
Yeah. I think they really are now trying to change that behavior and keep us here for some time so that we see that it's not just around numbers and changing on a screen. It's like, no, we're trying to encourage you guys to change your habits and do different things. And we're seeing it now where people are like, I'm moving to Australia. We're not going to have a child. We're not going to move. We're not going to upsize. And people are literally making different choices.
Yeah.
Being forced to. And it's then tying back to inflation. So they're learning about it. Do we keep those habits? You know, the thing about humans is we want to maintain the lifestyle that we've had. So that's why the professional who has a good income, when the market goes tight, it's like, I'll drive an Uber. in and out of the city pay for my parking, because we are resilient and we'll find ways to maintain our level of living standard, because that's then what we tie our identity to, and we want to hold on to that because we'll fight harder to keep it because we got there. So then all of a sudden to say to someone, hey, now you just need to live like this. I'm like, fuck, get fucked. Like, that's why I think so many people freak out about you owe nothing and be happy, because they're like, no, don't tell me how I'm going to live. It's going to be like that.
So that's the main part of it all. It's I'm me.
Mm. So, you know, good luck actually implementing that if it's a thing, because humans will just go, like, they'll have to be forced some way.
Yeah, I'm a big believer that that stuff, like the world economic stuff, will fall over eventually.
Mm.
There's way too many people against it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to get messy, mate. I found a couple of things that, so when I started trying to think, okay, what do we put into this pod? So I'm going to go and find some comments from people around inflation. And I read this one and it was, we've lost faith in money, possibly due to inflation targeting. Why would you save money when it's mandated to lose its value over time? And when you think about that, so what they're basically saying is we're telling people, like, stop consuming. We shouldn't be doing that. It's bad. Don't do your buy now, pay later. But as we talked about on another inflation, like, please understand inflation now. It's like, yeah, but with inflation, you're basically encouraging Tom, Dick and Harry to go out and spend the money, because we're saying, well, at the end of the year, if you keep this money, it's going to be worth less.
Yeah.
And so then people go like, oh, fuck, I kind of get this to a degree. But then what that creates as well is you have the people who say, why invest when your money isn't going to be worth anything later on? To the point where now sorted.org.nz with their savings calculator on their website are like, do you want to tick a box here to adjust this for inflation? Like, okay, do you now want it to work out how much you need to be saving on top of so that you can maintain the real value of that money? Because people finally get it. But the funny thing about the people, or the sad thing for the people that are like, why invest when your money's not going to be worth anything later on, is that this is a, like, I've already given up. The reason that companies are innovating and trying to grow and whatnot is because they're fucking competing with inflation too. And they're trying to figure out, what can we put our money into to try and grow it and get a return that's greater than inflation? And that's what the market does and tries to achieve. We can sit there and go, great, well, I'm going to, you know, invest into those companies and let them do the work for me. But we fall into the, like, nah, I read on social media, someone said, oh, what's the point investing? You know, I don't have much, or it's not going to be worth much in time. That's all good and well for your small thinking brain. But what you want to do when you think like that is go, cool, this Saturday, you win the lotto. Are you still like that? You go into lotto and they give you a financial advisor and they say, look, we're going to help you put this into a bit of work and let's figure out where you want to be and we can invest it. You're going to go, fuck, I thought investing it. Why would I invest it? It's going to be worth fuck all in the future. They will be like, yeah, but if you don't invest it, it's going to be worth way less. So sorry, what are you talking about?
I'll be investing it straight into a Lambo, baby.
Yeah. So you would be forced to think, and you wouldn't think like that. Your old self would go, oh shit, I might have got that one wrong.
Because you just got thrown a whole lot of responsibility on you, to be honest.
Yeah, and you're not going to want it to... Are you going to say to the financial advisor in Lotto, like, hey, guys, thanks heaps for the say. I'm just going to leave it under my mattress, and in 20 years, I'm going to pull it out, and I'm going to buy all the same shit.
Because,
like, what's the point of investing it? You know, it doesn't matter. Like,
yeah.
And they would be like, yeah, you what? You would flip straight into, fuck, what do I do with this money?
Yeah. The unfortunate answer is... I completely agree. I think inflation, effectively, it's a tax, but it's not in the tax code, right? Like, it's taking away from you at work. It's taking away from your savings. You know, it forces you to be an investor when you just want to be a builder, because if you want to save and protect your energy,
yeah,
you know. And so I really do see that side of the debate. But unfortunately, the only true answer is to outwork it and out-earn it. And then you do have to find a way to protect it if you can. And
I'll give an example of how you can do that without the investing, just on that, whilst you collect your thoughts there. Because if you're a builder and you're like, fuck yeah, I didn't want to learn about investing, I hate this shit. Remember that you are investing, because you're investing into a tradable skill.
Yeah.
So if you know how to build a deck, and that deck is the same in 20 years, you can come to Luke, who can't build a deck, and you can say, right, like, I can build that deck for you. And in 2023, it might be, let's say, 10 grand. But in 2023, it might be double that.
Mm.
33. But even then, so then you go like, oh, I am protecting my earning capability because this is still valuable to someone. So I need to learn valuable skills. But the same thing, you could go, right, well, I can't afford as much meat as I used to. But then you bump into someone who's got cattle beasts and stuff and you go, mate, I'll come around your farm and I'll fix a few things. Can you get me some home kill?
Mm.
And you swap your abilities and your skills for that. Well, you're technically not really supposed to be doing that because there's no money exchanging hands and therefore who's getting taxed, et cetera, et cetera. But that's what happens.
This
is also what this creates.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not just like you've got to become the world's best investor to beat inflation. You invest in yourself, get better at valuable skills, and you can go and trade them with people. Yeah, yeah. And as a CEO, I probably shouldn't be encouraging that, but like I'm just trying to highlight the principle of what it forces people to do.
A decade of inflation will encourage that behavior.
Yeah.
You know?
And that will already be happening.
Especially as you slide into higher and higher tax brackets as well, you're like, how can I do this more efficiently? Because that's how we're wired.
Yeah. I don't want to lose 40% of this to tax.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll, fine.
I think that is a really important point. Like if you do nothing investing, which is kind of like me, better make sure you're trying to grow your income at a fucking chunky rate.
Yeah.
And, you know, like my personal goals are 30% year on year. That sounds fucking crazy when you start doing numbers.
Assets or income?
Income.
Both. Yeah, nice. Okay.
How do you grow your income 30% every year?
After tax, mate, you tell me. I don't know.
Yeah.
No one, probably not many people know.
But if you start chasing down those goals and let's say you hit 20 or 25 or whatever and then do that over 10 years, I'll beat inflation.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll fucking smash it.
Yeah, you don't worry about these 20 cent coins, you start worrying about the hundies, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, that is one of the solutions to the problem. But it's very hard. You have to be in a pretty chunky mindset to do it.
And if you do it and you get 20, not 30, you've got the skills.
Yeah.
You can't take them for you. Just like the builder who doesn't want to be an investor, fine. But you now have the skills and you go like, you would get back into an inflationary period and you go like, I know what to do with this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, sweet. I'll look out for like, what could I trade my skills for and return for?
It is. You are a builder behind the scenes. It's like, I say that like comparison, you know, then you've got the ability to read a profit and loss. You've got the ability to understand inflation. Like you never lose those things.
Mm.
And when that means that, and nothing, they can't be taken away from you either.
Yeah.
Like for Bitcoin is that's true decentralization is your knowledge because it can't be sucked out of your head. But when that happens, that frees up space for you to go and learn the next thing. And these building blocks start occurring.
Mm.
And then you think, man, at 50, I'll be really capable of making money because I would have just done this and this and this and this and this. And if you think that the person that has all of those skills combined and put together can't make a dollar, it's not even believable in my mind. Of course you're going to be capable.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I do feel for that side of the argument about inflation and it's wrong and I fucking agree with it, but it's the answer.
So next comment, mate, is we don't save money because we think it won't hold its value, which is exactly what we've been talking about. We pour our money into various markets, which then go up and benefit those at the top.
Yeah, well, the share market and the housing market and all of these things have become inflation hedges over time.
Mm.
That's because the human can't trust their dollars. We go and find something else that we think we can trust. And like those, I mean, share market, a lot of the time it's productive assets like businesses and things, but a lot of them aren't. A lot of them are fucking zombie companies and shit. We're just following the crowd because we don't trust our dollar. Subconsciously, we're like, It's really hard for people to get their head around this, but a lot of the housing market's success in New Zealand is because subconsciously you need somewhere to put your money. If I give you $200,000 or if you go to work and earn $200,000, your deposit, if you put that in your transactional savings account or even an interest-bearing one, you know that in 20 years – money ain't worth shit.
Mm.
You don't know the number, but you know because when you were a kid and you went to the dairy, the lollies were 5 cents.
Damn it, man.
And now they're not. They're $2 or whatever, or $4 or whatever it is. So you have seen that and your subconscious knows it. So you're like, I can't trust my 200 grand in there. And then you go into the housing market and follow everyone else because that's where it gets protected.
Yes.
That's the store of value aspect of it. And we're sheep and we follow the crowd and then we call it because we haven't thought about it deeply enough. We call it making money in the housing market. Housing market always goes up.
Yeah.
It's just a scarce asset versus an unscarce one. Dollars are unlimited. Land and housing is not.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
This then goes on to say, mate, which you've just basically articulated exactly this. Then when a recession comes along, it's funny looking at all the panic, like it's the end of the world, blaming the central bank for your own predicament. You could have been saving your money, but no, you'd rather collectively put our country at risk because you attempted to leverage the perceived loophole in the system to have the nice things for cheap. That is brutal, eh?
That's a pretty good comment.
Yeah, yeah. Which is basically what you've summed up, that. But people wouldn't know that they're doing this. They're no. Like, right, I'm going to put it into property. Well, you can't, mate, because you don't have enough. I'll borrow to do it. Recession comes, interest rates go up or inflation and stuff. You're like, what the fuck, everyone? This shouldn't be like this. You're ruining it. Well, we created this,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I think it's Grant Cardone. I've seen a couple of times him talking about inflation where he's like, no, the central banks don't create it. Humans do. If they print the money and just leave it in a room, it's there. We get it and we're like, what are we going to do with it?
Mm.
And so same thing when we're earning money each year and whatnot, we're like, we've got to get it into the market. And that's normally the housing market. Now, if I just compare this to my situation, I don't own a home and I haven't played in that market. So I have to be very sure in myself that my earning ability and my ability to build assets can increase because Taz wants a home and I will have to provide a home at some stage.
Yeah.
And I will have to do that with her. So I have to try and convince her, like, don't worry, houses are not getting more expensive. They're actually getting cheaper for us.
Yeah, yeah.
That is very hard to understand. And still, I can see people who I try to explain that to, they're just like, but they're going up. What the fuck are you talking about? They're going to be more expensive.
Yeah.
Mate, yes. But here's my balance sheet at the end of March 2022. Here is it at the end of 2021, 23, and now into 24. Tell me, is that figure increasing faster than housing inflation? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Yes. Tell me, is my income increasing and therefore the tax that I pay over those years? Yes. Do I need to be scared about inflation? To some degree. But am I running a different race and it's then less of a worry? If I take my foot off the gas and don't do the right things, or if we have a massive downturn into the things that I've invested into, I'm fucked.
But housing will be cheaper as well.
But what am I gonna do? Go, oh, I gotta play catch up, man, because I fucking got this one wrong. Yeah. Well, like, I couldn't control that. So, you know, that I think it's a good example of naturally we think, right, okay, we've got to put the money into housing because that's going to protect it. So it does happen. I'm choosing not to. Then that means I have to then figure out, okay, mate, if you're certain.
You are the protection.
Yeah, you better fucking figure this out.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, that is what's playing out there for, but then, you know, there's people who can't get into, but they just, all they want in their life is to own a property.
Mm.
But this environment that we've now got to has meant that it's really hard.
But that, what we're talking about here, how like the value of the property isn't necessarily going up, they don't know that yet.
Mm.
And a lot of people never know that in their lives. If you did know that, it might not be your only goal in your life to own a home.
Yeah.
You might actually think.
True.
You might actually think, oh, I could go and do something else that I like and not be strapped into serfdom with a 30-year mortgage.
Mm.
You know, it's very, like, for me personally, it's very freeing. Like, I'm bolted to the fucking industry.
Yeah, yeah.
My company relies on it. But knowing for me personally and my personal financial situation that I don't have to be a part of like the FOMO or anything like that because I'm more interested in business and being productive and growing that side of it because I know that I can outstrip the prices of houses. So freeing.
Definitely. And I think
like, it's jammed down our throat. The media jam it down your throat like every day. It's the thing people talk about at barbecues. Like, it's,
get on the ladder, man. Yeah. Where's the ladder going?
Yeah.
What the fuck? Just the ladder. Where does the ladder go to? Because the ladder usually finishes somewhere. Hang on. No one's ever asked me that.
Yeah. Like, if I get to half of where I think I want to go by the time I'm 50, I'll be able to buy any house I fucking want in the country anyway.
Bang. Financial hardship up 32% year on year. I'd hate to be feeling that right now.
That's a grunty number, eh?
That sucks, man. That's to the end of February. Now, you know, obviously I focus a lot on business, and looking at the Centrix data, it says small business owners facing higher levels of mortgage stress in the current climate. And I've seen this because I've noticed the change in business owners in their conversations, and they're talking business, and all of a sudden it comes back to, yeah, but my mortgage, yeah, but my interest rates, yeah, but like we need to earn this because of what's happening over here. And that, like, that's tough because for a lot of people, they have an income level through their job, and then the bank then says, well, you can borrow X, Y, Z. And so then you create your lifestyle.
Which is based on your income, people. Like, the deposit is one part, the other part is your income.
Yeah, and you then basically live your life based on those two things, what your income is and therefore what you can borrow and what you can afford, and you mold it around that. Business owner, hey, January, for instance, like, this is really good for people to understand. January, most businesses only did 2 weeks worth of trading.
Yeah.
And guess how many Tuesdays there were in January? 5. Imagine running a payroll 5 times in January if you pay people on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
When you're having your holiday and chilling out and pay now, fucking buy now, pay later, and shit in the malls.
Yeah.
This is what business owners are thinking about in January, and they're going to pay GST and they're going to pay provisional tax.
Yeah. 15th of January is like my most hated date of the year.
That is brutal.
It is a savage day.
And like, imagine the stress business owners are coming back into the new year with, when they think like, holy shit, man, look at our revenue for January, but our costs are still going up. People want their annual leave paid out, and they want to take longer time off. So we're actually only doing billable work or things for 2 weeks for a lot of these businesses. It's a scary time. And it says, yeah, so small business owners facing high levels of mortgage stress in the current climate. The chart tracks the levels of residential mortgages at 30 days past due across different classes of business ownership. There's higher and increasing levels of mortgage stress is shown for sole proprietors, which is 71% of businesses in New Zealand, compared to that of non-business owners. So business owners are bearing the brunt of this because as their business incomes and profits are decreasing, then they're like, fuck, how do we pay for our mortgages? Sole proprietors that own two or more businesses are experiencing even higher levels of debt stress, more than double that of non-business owners. So you think it's tough as a non-business owner? Imagine trying to do, you know, what people are doing in business and still go and pay your mortgage and whatnot. Yeah,
even last year you had that zero data that showed that some crazy number of business owners didn't even pay themselves for more than 3 months or something.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's scary.
It's scary, yeah.
And also, business owners, so sole proprietors, often leverage their home equity to fund their business to keep operating and trading. So even when we think, I'm going to get into a productive asset like business and make extra income and stuff, then we're like, but I probably should buy a home and then I'll probably use some of the equity in that.
Well, the system kind of encourages it, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's important to remind people that inflation is just excess units of money in the system over what it was previously. So there isn't, you know, one of the most frustrating things I hear is like, structural inflation and inflation X this and inflation with this added in. And man, the only way that it can go up is if you add units in that are the part that we use to buy the stuff. And that comes from like the government handouts and stuff like we had during the pandemic, or excess credit creation, because when you loan money out, if it just gets created, it didn't come from like the vault.
Yeah.
It wasn't just sitting there in a room. It was just a button that they clicked and sent it out the door. And I think it's important to understand that that is the only issue, and then close off everything else you hear, because the non-stop articles, I mean, I've got Instagram posts where I talked about this or tweets or whatever, being like, get ready for the inquiry into the fuel companies. Yeah. Get ready for the inquiry into the supermarkets, because it's the same every time because they try and disguise it.
Yeah.
And I've got this thing here from the USA from 1970s.
Ooh.
That this was called the Great Inflation, just like we had the Great Recession or whatever. The great inflation of the 1970s was 10 years from 1970 to the 1980s. All right?
Yep.
So it was like big spikes at the start and then it got lower and lower, but it took 10 years basically to run out. The great inflation of the 1970s was blamed on oil prices, currency speculators, greedy businessmen, and greedy unions. However, in hindsight, it is clear that monetary policy that financed massive budget deficits that were supported by the political class were the case. That's an extract from like an article from like Money website or whatever it is in the States. Does that sound familiar?
Very familiar, mate.
It's almost identical.
Yeah, I saw some. I searched a meme on Instagram, no, a GIF to put onto one of my stories. The first one that comes up if you search for inflation is this big bubble that's blowing up, and then the it's a balloon, and the balloon turns into inflation is created by corporate greed. That's what it says. And I see this people like comment all the time, oh, it's the corporate greed that's created the inflation. I'm at the point where I'm like, you know what? I don't really give two fucks what's caused it. I'm just getting pissed off paying $22 for a margarita on the weekend.
Yeah. So, and the reason I'm saying this is to link it back. So we hear about like corporate greed and all of this kind of stuff. If you know that it's just extra units in the system, doesn't that mean that person who is creating the corporate greed or whatever might have experienced this before, and when it came, they're like, I better make sure I get some this time, you know, because they're better at it than you.
Yeah.
It's like you said, it's going to pass over and it's going to end up back into mortgages and interest rates and stuff, and you better be good at grabbing it on the way.
Yeah.
Which is what it is, really.
Yeah.
And I just think it doesn't serve you any benefit to be concerned about like the oil price, and you know, like it was getting blamed on the war, and then food, and then petrol inquiries and Commerce Commission this. They're doing like a thing into the banks again now.
Mm.
You know, I saw an article from, I think it was ASB the other day, saying we actually sent out some mortgages with no margin in them for a while.
Yeah.
But we didn't thank them then, did we?
Far out.
You know, like now we're complaining because they're making a margin, but there was a period of, I don't know, however long, that literally zero margin. Like you were getting it for what the bank was getting it for.
The funny thing with the whole bank thing is that Kiwis will be like, fucking banks, man, they make too much money and all this stuff, which I completely understand because, I mean, I see the numbers and I'm like, oh, man, it's great business.
It's impressive.
Yeah, and they're some of the biggest taxpayers and whatnot, and then we forget that only 50% of households actually pay any tax because people are taking it back, but then we're then like, fucking banks are, you know, they're earning too much, but of course they're then probably funding half of the shit that people are getting. Anyway, also then we don't complain when we go to the rugby and stuff and see that the banks are sponsoring stuff and all the stuff that they do, they self-tax themselves. But that aside, there's now been, as interest rates have increased, there's now been a massive increase in people being like, oh, maybe I'll park my money with Squirrel. Maybe I'll park it with these other things. And people send these things to me and they're like, hey, what do you think about this? And I'm like, I don't think about it. And they're like, that's not the answer. What they're really asking is, do you think I should put my money into this?
Yeah.
Like, it's so weird that people are so pissed off with the banks, so distrusting, but then they don't trust other areas enough to go, you know what? Instead of asking Luke, what does he think of the Squirrel bank account? I'm going to just do a stack of fucking research, or I'm going to just put my money in there and see what risk I end up under. What did I think of Celsius? Yeah, looked pretty cool to get a return.
Hey, but
got a bit back.
Yeah, there's some creditors and shit happening, and oh man,
yeah,
yeah.
The way, I mean, violent action, I learned by just going and doing this shit.
Yeah, you know? You do.
I remember finding when I was a young fella, like, oh man, Rabobank, who are these guys?
Yeah.
Oh, they're from they're Dutch. I'm like, where's Dutch? Like, I'm like, oh, can anyone open one of these accounts? And ask people, like, oh, have you got a Rabo account? Like, no. And I'm like, man, it looks pretty good, eh? The rates are higher than other banks. So I might put some money in there. I had to go and learn this shit and go and do it.
Mm.
And, you know, now it's like, oh, mate, can you compare Sharesies to Hatch to Kernel to... And I'm like, no, I'm fucking not going to do that. I'm going to focus on getting shit done so that I can use one of them. But yeah, it's weird. There's just so much angst towards banks, but then people still don't go, right, well, then I'm going to vote with my feet yeah, I'm going to try something else.
It's towards everything though, right? It's towards the petrol companies. It's towards the supermarkets and the owners, and it's a duopoly. And yeah, like, it's so, yeah.
And but also you ask someone like, oh, so who do you have your insurance with? Oh, the bank sorted my insurance. Oh, okay. Yeah. What about your KiwiSaver? Yeah, mine's with ANZ. Oh, really? I saw you on social media a week ago being like, fucking man, they don't deserve to make that much money. Oh, what? How many bank accounts you got? 6? Do they charge you bank fees? Oh, no, 2 of them are bank interest, bloody, they're free, mate. And yeah, I've got a credit card with them as well. Like, well, are we surprised that yeah, they make so much cash?
Yeah.
Sorry, tangent.
Yeah. Massive tangent. But I think it's important to like understand in your mind that these are different things, and the inflation can be a cause a lot of this stuff, and you just don't know it yet.
Yeah.
So now that you know it, then it's like, right, what if this is around for ages? Am I still going to be complaining about the supermarket in 10 years?
Hmm.
You know, like, is that going to serve me well, or should I figure out how to make enough money so I can still afford to go to the supermarket?
And I think some people do this. They take action into their own hands and they're like, you know what, damn the supermarkets, I'm gonna you know, grow my own produce.
Yeah.
And I'm going to figure out how to do that. I mean, that's not for me, but that's what some people want to do. Like, good on you. Like, at least you're doing something.
Fucking A. That is the same as what you do.
Yeah.
Just a different way.
Mm.
You're just like, I'm going to be an extremely productive animal in terms of generating income, so I don't have to worry about that stuff. It's no different to being like, I'll be self-sufficient.
Yeah.
Because then I don't need that part of my life to be affected.
So
it's the same.
On the positive side, the cool thing about inflation is it just has woken a lot of people up to go, fuck, how does an economy work? And like, what's going on here? Unfortunately, most people then fall down the trap of, okay, let's just argue about it and pick and say like this political party will fix it and whatnot. But for some people, they've gone, you know what, like maybe I will walk to work, or I might get an electric scooter. I'm sure part of why there's so many scooters floating around is because people are like, well, yeah, I'm not going to drive myself, or that looks too expensive, or the parking's too expensive and it keeps going up. I'm going to scooter to work and things like that. So people do change what they're doing, and it's encouraging us to learn these things. But I just wouldn't buy into the whole convo that, oh, well, could it all be solved in 18 months and yay, we're all back to how it used to be.
Yeah, man. The talk of rate increases and that bad, what do they call it? Onshore inflation or whatever. Oh, that yeah, means.
Tradable, non-tradable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like when that non-tradable came out, I was like, oh, I put a post up straight away. I was like, by the way, this isn't good.
Yeah.
Because like there was people saying like, yeah, it's coming down again.
Yeah, because that's the overall narrative.
Yeah, I'm like,
it's 4 point something.
This is real bad, this part here. This is not good. Like, it's not going away. It has barely moved. It's above forecast, like everything. And then, you know, the talk of hikes comes out and I'm like, oh, fuck, it isn't over. Like,
yeah.
And then I'm like, back to work. Like,
because I guess we should highlight, like, we don't want to be right. Like, I haven't wanted to be talking about inflation for 3 years. I'm like, fuck, man. I mean, it's kind of good because people then think about increasing their incomes and stuff like that, and it gives you heaps to talk about. But it's not exactly great when people are out there like bleeding in the streets.
Nah, being, man. It's, you know, horrible.
Yeah, and hurting.
I was against like the monetary response in 2020 because of that.
Yeah.
I was like, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. It's going to be a fucking massive issue. And then here we are. And I'm like,
yeah,
I hate it. But that's why I'm on the side of the people that, you know, they're like, fuck central banking and creating like unlimited amounts of money. It's been the fiat system for like 100 years. We can't change it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you've got to then, like, if you are hard down that path of going back to those people that are like, why invest when your money's going to be worth nothing? I'd written down here, well, fucking buy Bitcoin if you're that sure.
Mm.
Like, if you think that this whole thing is...
Or gold, or something that's known to be the protection against it.
And like you said before, most Kiwis are buying houses because that's what we've made sense of. But other people are, you know, buying Bitcoin and stuff. But you've still got to go out to the market and get it and then turn it into the house or the Bitcoin. So it goes back to the podcast. I should probably figure out how can I make more money.
The one thing I do think that people should be more... activists about, because there's a lot of activism around at the moment for all sorts of things, is tax cuts. We should be able to have more of it to control and put it into Bitcoin or gold or whatever.
That's not going to fly with a lot of people, mate.
Nah, mate. But I was going to get out real cold.
Equally, I laugh at the people that I put something on Instagram the other day saying, if you earn $100,000 a year, you're paying $489 of tax a week. Now, goal is to think, am I putting $489 a week towards your future?
Mm.
You're paying down your mortgage, or you're using that to be a productive person in society and or investing into your future. So like comparing what you pay per week in tax, if you're earning that, to what then you're doing with some of that cash left over.
Mm.
Nowhere in that does it say that you shouldn't have to pay those taxes. But people reply, oh, what? So you're saying people shouldn't pay taxes? I'm like, hey, where does it say that? Sorry. But that's where their brains are like so like fucking wired towards that. And then they're like, oh, good one, dickhead. What about the nurses? What about the roads, et cetera? I'm like, again, we're in there. Sorry, we're in there. Does it say that? I'm like, it's a challenge to think individually, like, fuck yeah, am I saving $500 a week? You know, am I investing for my future? And I get the sense that a lot of the people that say stuff like that, that completely miss the point of it and go, oh, you know, what about the nurses? What about the roads and stuff? Of course I want that stuff too. But I want to ask them, like, how much tax do you pay? And what credits do you get back? Because as we know, one in two households basically get more back than they pay. But they're sitting there on social media being like, what about the nurses? What about the roads? And it's like, but you're taking a shit ton of the tax yourself.
Mm.
So can we just get you to maybe pay a bit more yourself or get more people paying so that it's not 50-50. It's basically, you know, we've got more left over.
Yeah.
But I don't see that changing. And
no.
If anything, I see more people being dependent on the people who are contributing net in the tax take. I don't know what's right, what's wrong. I don't care, but to me, it just seems like if we could just encourage more people to be like, oh yeah, fuck, actually, I've got it pretty good here because I'm not actually paying any tax.
Mm.
And hey, I don't make the rules. It is what it is. But I probably shouldn't then be on social media telling people like, oh, fuck you, man. You're encouraging people to think about saving for their future. And I'm going to tell you that you want to shaft the nurses and the roads. Like,
yeah, that
yeah. The beautiful thing is if we do start saving for our future and have a stack of cash there, then what's going to end up happening with that cash? It's going to get invested into something.
Mm.
And we'll probably end up with a giant, like, let's rebuild New Zealand infrastructure fund coming out of KiwiSaver. Like, our KiwiSaver balance is $104 billion at the end of December. I put up something about Australia's is $3.5 trillion. And that was at the end of September. Markets have gone nuts.
There's single humans in the world that have more than our KiwiSaver fund.
And people are like, you're not comparing apples with apples, man. I'm like, for fuck's sake. Like, yeah. I'm just trying to highlight, holy shit, look how much money they have in theirs. But imagine if New Zealand's just for 1 minute, because someone worked out that if ours was to be comparable, it would be around $700 billion. I don't know if that's accurate, but let's just say it was.
Per capita.
And let's just say it was $700 billion. Like, what does New Zealand look like in 2023 if we have a $700 billion amount of money sitting there that can get invested into shit? Like, there would be a lot more cool shit happening, and there would be a lot more, like, okay, well, let's. Smart people would figure out this space and they would go, well, look, we've got a $50 billion fund over here, for instance, that's going to just nail these key projects. And more of that stuff, I think, would be happening. Mm. Because as there's more money in things, it just creates more. And it would create more of that wealth effect as well. And I think that's what we're lacking, because we don't have large stores of cash. We've got it. We've put it all into housing. That's our wealth effect. Rippity, awesome me. Other people are like, well, I'm fucked. I can't even save for a home because we haven't indexed the tax rates. And now inflation is meaning that my bag of lettuce is $7.50 and half the fucking things are dark green. And the corporate greed bastards are ruining me every time I go in there. And the parking as well has just gone up. So there's this massive rift with it all. But if we just had more cash somewhere by teaching more people to be able to build some of that, then what ends up happening? And we would end up having not just a wealth effect from property, but from, oh shit, I've got seven, like our average KiwiSaver balance is $30,000. Imagine if it was $210,000, you know, because people are like, you're not comparing apples with apples. Well, here's a comparison. The average in Australia is $240,000 Australian, so probably $260,000. Average in New Zealand is $30,000.
Yeah.
Imagine what that does to the individual decision making. My mate, for instance, who lives in Aussie, he sends me a spreadsheet. He's like, hey, bro, I've mapped mine out till I'm 65. And he's like, we'll have $16 million.
Yeah.
Imagine the decisions that he's making in his head.
That is the wealth effect, right? Effectively, 100%. The wealth effect that, you know, that term gets thrown around. But if you unpack what it is, it's basically not worried about the future.
Yeah.
So if you know that there's a stack of inflation protected funds over there, that means that, you know, when you are 60 or 65 or whenever you can pull it out, 65, that you don't have to worry about anything then, you can kind of, it frees up so much brain capacity.
Yeah.
To be like, I don't have to worry about my retirement. That's being taken care of. I know that it'll be sweet, so I can go and do whatever I want in terms of, I can go and take a risk over here in business. I can go and build this big fuck off house with a mortgage or whatever. Like, you can do these other things.
Yeah.
Once that's taken care of. And if you sit on the inflation will ruin everything, it might do, but I'd rather be trying to hedge against it than just sitting back and letting it eat your future.
Yeah, and be consumed by it.
Also, yeah, I see the argument as like excess and long-term inflation has caused the reason for these things to exist. But they're there, so you should use them now. You know, like in a perfect world with perfect money, you should just be able to like go to work, do what you're good at, be a mechanic or whatever, and then just save what you've got left over and know that it won't die. But unfortunately, we don't live in that world. Yeah. Maybe it will come one day, but it's not here now. So now we do have to go and do KiwiSaver or paying off your mortgage or buying a rental if you want to do it that way, whatever, which way around it you go. But like, this should be scary enough to make you feel like there's not an option. This should force you to be like, okay, I need to put some effort into thinking about this long term because it's going to get ruthless if I don't. So I need to go and sort that out. I want my $3.5 trillion KiwiSaver. And then once that's taken care of and I know that I can see those numbers and map them out and know that I'm going to be protected at retirement, then I can focus on over here and fucking go smash it.
Yeah, nice.
Money flying everywhere, mate. Yeah.
I'm going to go back to the top where we didn't even do this, but I think it's flowed nicely into, well, then what are some reasons why inflation would be here for 10 years? And you touched on these on a earlier pod, but I'd written down that we are basically telling everyone that we need to move to a more cleaner, greener world.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember watching something from someone in the oil space and they're like, go ahead, fill your boots, but the less you invest into our industry, the more expensive it's going to be. So you better fucking figure it out real quick. And I was like, oh, wow, that doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
And I guess what I'm highlighting there is that that's not going to be cheap.
No.
To just, if that's the answer that we think it is for the entire world, then that's going to cost money.
Yeah.
And that's going to have to happen. And who's going to pay? And I saw something yesterday from the power companies and they're like, oh, your power's going to go up.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. And what does power flow into? Everything.
Yeah. So zooming out far enough is one of the biggest, I think, one of the biggest causes of longer term inflation has been the mismanage of the public sector's debt that they've taken out. Because they have such big problems now. Like, I don't watch the news and I still hear the shit come up. I drove through Northland at Christmas time and I felt sorry for them. The roads are so fucked. And I put something up on my Instagram story and it was like a couple of motor guys like, yeah, we can't ride at night now. Because like if they hit a pothole or die.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah, like they're that bad. And I was like, fuck. I came back and I was like, I thought Auckland was bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not going to fix itself. That'll cost money.
Yeah.
I see this shit in Wellington. Like they're just, the water system is so fucked. It's leaking like half of the water that they, that's going to cost money. Councils are all broke. Same. Yeah. They're public to me. They're part of the government. They're fucking useless. They haven't been managing it properly. The only way that they can cover the cost of this stuff is to borrow. We're not producing enough to give them our tax to cover the cost of this stuff. Our tax is covering the interest costs on the debt that they already have. So if they go borrow, that means that there's new credit
more units
coming into the system.
Yeah.
Which means everything will get more expensive, which means they are a very big part of causing the inflation problem. And because it's been mismanaged for so long, doesn't matter which side of the government, both of them have been fucking terrible at it. Otherwise, we wouldn't have all these problems. I hear about hospitals and you sit in A&E for like 15 hours before you get served. Like, fortunately, I haven't had to do it, but like my partner's doing something at the moment. I was like, go private, we'll just pay, fuck it. I haven't even checked the public system, but from what I've heard, I'm like, don't trust it, fuck it, it's useless. Luckily enough, I sorted myself out where I can afford to do that. But this stuff cannot be fixed without new currency in the system.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a massive problem. And it just is going to keep feeding the beast.
And so we could tell people, oh, yeah, inflation is going to be between 1% and 3%, et cetera. Well, we're like, what if it's 2.9 for the next 10 years? Then still pretty ugly. Like, run some calcs.
Yeah.
They've got you here. We need more infrastructure, apparently. That's what everyone's talking about. That's not going to be cheap. Same thing, exactly what you've just explained. Now, let's think about the councils as well. Cool. What have we seen? They're like, oh, we need to put your rates up.
Yeah.
So, oh, get a property. It's awesome. You don't get tax. There's no fucking taxes and stuff. Well, rates are effectively a tax on your land and your property. Mm. So that's going to continue to go up. So then what are you going to want? Well, more income or more rent to cover that?
You probably don't notice this because, like, you're so in the zone. But if you drive around Auckland at the moment, I was driving around and I said to someone the other day, I was like, fuck, the parks, they're all overgrown.
Ugh.
Yeah, like long grass and stuff. And then I got told that the council is so broke that they've stopped mowing them.
No.
This is fucking not a lie.
Come on, you homeowners, fucking get out there with your mowers.
So if you want your parks mowed, they're going to borrow the money to do it. Or, which is two things. They increase your rates to pay for this difference, or they go and borrow the money to go and sort this out, which increases the debt repayments, which means they increase your rates.
Yeah.
Same result.
Mm.
It's unavoidable. It's just, but, you know, if money was managed correctly by the public sector and they actually didn't just fucking spray money around and not actually get the results from spending the money, you know, my favorite is the old $500,000 speed bump. That's fucking hilarious. But
yeah.
We just see example of example of example after example of this, and the same result is this.
Well, next one, mate, rents. A lot of people wouldn't understand that rents in the commercial space often track CPI. So basically, when you renegotiate your lease, there may or ordinarily would be a clause in there that says, great, it needs to increase with CPI. Now, the longer that the CPI is higher, that means when those get renewed, instantly the lease has to start from what it was plus the CPI. Now, I reviewed one recently. I'm not an expert in this space. Client passed me something. Property people would know way more about this than I, but it was CPI plus 2%.
So it's got a 2% premium on whatever the CPI is that year.
Yeah. So I said, look, if it's 5%, then your rent's going to have to increase by 7%. Then the next year, it'll be whatever CPI is plus 2.
When we had 7.3%, it would have been 9.3% increase in your lease cost.
Yeah.
Fuck.
So to maintain then your profit, because remember, we've got a corporate greed and we've got to price gouge everyone or whatever, but those people are trying to protect their living incomes as well.
Your business is on an 8% margin already.
And remember, they got taxed higher as well if those are those rich people that have got way too much money from renting everything out or whatever. So then they're thinking, well, we're probably going to have to jack up the prices of these leases to keep earning what they wanted to earn if they were the lease. Or now the person taking the lease, so they've got to pay the 7% plus the 2% or the 5 and the 2. And they go, well, shit, I better increase the prices of what I sell and the services that I create so that I can maintain my margins as well. So the longer that CPI is higher for, the risk is that rents go up too, and that feeds into everything. Now, then you go, well, you know, okay, whatever, but I'm looking at my own interest rates and thinking about rents from that side of things. Well, I saw KiwiBank do a bit of a breakdown the other day, because it's very common to hear in the media, and the narrative is basically people on lower incomes get impacted by inflation the most.
Mm.
And KiwiBank were basically like, yeah, that's kind of accurate because we look at it from a CPI level, but actually people who are higher income earners and therefore have mortgages with higher amounts of debt and therefore the interest rate increasing on that, they've actually been impacted more disproportionately than anybody else.
Yeah, your personal inflation rate in terms of outgoings is not the CPI.
Yeah, because
Your mortgage has doubled.
Yeah. So you're like household inflation rate is higher for higher income earners because they have interest rates that have increased faster.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we then see higher interest rates, that's going to lead to higher costs for people trying to maintain, you know, margins and just different things that they're doing, i.e. working. And they're like, well, my mortgage has gone up by this. Like, I'm looking for a job that pays me X, Y, Z.
Yep.
So say we have higher inflation for longer and then we average a 6% interest rate that we have to pay on top of the 4 of inflation, well, man, things are going to continue to go up and up in price.
Yeah, it's kind of, yeah, this is a scary pod, man.
Well, I was actually about to say, mate, the more I thought about this, the conclusion I came to, and I actually said this to Taz's dad when we were having a beer the other day. I said, mate, like, we probably shouldn't be here. In terms of not me and him, like, Taz and I probably shouldn't live in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Knowing all of this, the conclusion you get to is like, fuck, probably should go live somewhere else, and go and like build a life. And I said, there's things that make us want to be here. And I said, also, I love it here and I would like to be able to contribute to the solution. So you can either be the problem or the solution. And I'm not begrudging anybody that leaves New Zealand and is like, I'm going to go look for a better life. That's cool. Hopefully they come back and they can do things and contribute and whatnot. But I can see why so many people are just like, fuck. Like, once you learn a bit about this stuff, and he even said to me, he was like, mate, like, looking at people your age, like, we wouldn't blame you for leaving.
Yeah, the amount of the boomer generation that I've talked to that have said, like, what are you still doing here?
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like this when we were your age.
I had clients in 2022 and, like, this one guy would ring me and he's like, you booked your flight yet? I'm like, mate, like, I have a fucking great life here. I don't need to go.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, he's like, what are you doing, mate? Like, fucking, you're wasting your life here. It could be way better. And I'm like, oh, just, mate, okay, I don't need this lecture from you as well. Yeah. But, you know,
I know.
It's quite sad that you get to that. But, you know, you think, I mean, often we just laugh about it over a lunch and stuff. Like, imagine if we were in this country and, like, what life would look like and what we'd be doing.
The thing is knowing about this stuff is part of knowing the solution, right? So, like, the part, if you don't know this stuff and you don't, if you haven't thought about it and the cost it will have on your career or lifetime of your wealth, really, your personal wealth, then you can get stuck and get stuck behind. But once you know about it, it's like, oh, okay, cool. It's just this far further to get to the start line, really. And we've just got to fucking play that game.
And there's so many resources out there this just sounds really negative that I'm like, okay, my conclusion is I shouldn't live here. But equally, I often say to Mikey off the mic, I'm like, mate, if guys like us can't figure out how to have a good life here, like, what the fuck? You know? So it's very easy to look and go, like, it would be better over there, or would make more, or the taxes wouldn't be as high, like all that shit. But you don't, that's very easy to do without actually knowing what does it look like. Could move to Australia myself and get bitten by a fucking spider that can kill you.
Yeah.
And it was all for nothing. But also, I don't know what I have in me, but I'm a little bit of that, like, I want to fucking stay here and fight.
Yeah.
You know, like, I want to be part of the rebuild, but the rebuild don't look good.
No.
Like, it looks pretty grim because I just go back to what we're talking about another time where, okay, if 50% of people are going to be renting at 2050, it's not that far away.
Like, no.
Who's paying the bill?
Like, and if that's considered a negative stat, which it is, that's a fast downhill trajectory.
Yes.
Which will feel rubbish. Because we'll get it thrown in our face. We'll have more people complaining about it.
Yep.
You know, like, these things are all coming at you.
Yeah. But once you know, once you know better, you do better. I was just trying to find this quote, mate, because it's going back to what you were talking about before. Like, I'd rather know this shit to then go, okay, what can I do? Rather than someone shake me in 10 years and be like, mate, like, this is fucking, like, everyone's known this and be like, oh, what?
Yeah.
Man, I thought that, you know, going to the bloody parade with my fucking flag up saying, like, damn you corporate greedy people, was going to fix everything. Like, what do you mean you could have earned
some? The funniest one I see is, like, once you know this stuff and you've got a bit of a new level of, like, critical thinking and self-understanding is when you see people, like, getting behind their politician. Oh. I'm just like, oh, man, doesn't matter which one it is.
Mm.
They're part of, like, the institution. that is sick to the core and can't manage their money in cores. Doesn't matter which side of the aisle.
Yeah.
They've all caused it. And for like 60 years straight, the New Zealand dollar has devalued.
And interestingly, they're all going to want to go green. Okay, cool. If that's the path we're on, then they're all going to have to rebuild shit and build all this infrastructure that we're not as happy there. We're going to have to figure out how we house all these people. We're going to have to figure out how we can help people retire gracefully. Like maybe another pod probably, but do we need to redefine what retirement is? Like maybe the days of get to 65 and then chill out and stuff, like maybe we've got to have a big conversation and go, you know, guys, that was fit for purpose for pretty hard working times, but fuck, it's like Luke sitting on his laptop all day. You know, I don't know if you really need to be like clocking off at 65, man, getting a pension. So I think we're going to have some of those tough conversations. I just don't think we're at a state at the moment to be able to have them, because it would just be too unsettling, because people are already freaking out and tapped out by what's happening, to all of a sudden go, let's redesign what the country looks like. People will be like, oh, whoa, 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 hang on, we are not. And that's why every time you see it, it's like, this party has said that they're not going to touch the retirement age or whatever. But then you look across the ditch and you see Australia are like, you fuckers, you're not saving enough for retirement. We're taking you up to 12.5%.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, what do they know that? But they're having tough conversations and wanting to do stuff. And,
yeah.
There's this quote, mate, that I think it's so grunty. Eric Hoffer. In times of change, learners inherit the earth, while the learned find themselves beautifully equipped to deal with a world that no longer exists.
Oof.
It's good, eh? So in times of change, learners—
That's true as.
Yeah, so if you are out there and you're learning to get through these inflationary periods and whatnot, you get to inherit the earth. And like that's why I'm like, okay, I don't need to leave New Zealand because I've learned how to deal with this and how to make my life better. While the learned, so the people that think they know everything and they're like, no, I know how fucking, and I know that it's those corporate bloody countdown bastards again, you know, they find themselves beautifully equipped to deal with a world that no longer exists, because it's just going to keep on rolling and they stay in that like, poor me and this is bullshit and whatnot. Other people just keep rolling. They start creating opportunities. And, you know, you look at it with what you mentioned before about Easy Crypto, for instance, when we're talking about vehicles to wealth in another pod. But, you know, in times of change, learners inherit the earth. So they've gone and built something where they've learned and gone, okay, if things are moving this way, then we can have a big part of that. While there's other people going like, nah, like, fuck that. But I'd imagine the people that started that, their lives are a lot different to what they would have been before starting that. Through what they would have learned and inherited through learning that.
Yeah, I think a sad truth that we all have to really, really come to grips with, especially for this next decade, is like no one actually cares about you apart from you, so you have to be the one that controls it.
And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
That wraps that up.
Yeah, I think so. I think
because, you know, I just, voting for it, to change, or you know, saying that BlackRock are doing this or the central banks are doing this, you know, voting for change, I'm on this at the moment because this is hilarious, because like the amount of people that are like, Twitter's interesting because people really like suck onto their politician.
Yeah.
it's not going to help. Like, it truly isn't. You know, I think when you vote for change, when you understand this inflation stuff, they're just, you're right, there. Just we need this, more money.
Yeah.
Print it. Should we start a Keep the Change printer?
Oh, mate.
Fuck.
This is it, mate, the content. Yeah. Helping people learn how to do it.
What was I talking about?
People on Twitter change. Sorry, I got distracted with the coins. Yeah. People that are voting for change hard and going down that path.
Oh yeah. Okay. So like, just as an example, we had, you know, all this money printing, which we thought was caring about us and paying us our wage subsidies and stuff like that during COVID.
Mm.
Then inflation started, right? Now the cost of fixing inflation is really hurting people. And the way that they're fixing it is taking away your excess money and forcing you to pay off debt with a higher cost of debt, so that they're burning money out of the system. That's the solution. Do you reckon if they cared about you, they would have just said, we won't do that because that will hurt a lot of people, but we are going to do it this way, which is make your KiwiSavers compulsory and 15% for the next 3 years.
Mm.
So we're taking the units out of your bank account so you can't go and spend it on like excessive inflating shit. Like, is there not evidence that they don't care about you either side?
Mm.
No, they're like, nah, fucking jacking up rates, baby.
It's just the tool that we have.
Some of you are going to lose your houses.
Yeah.
Like, so I just don't think there's, someone will say like the money goes to someone and then it gets spent out the bottom anyway and then inflation continues, but which is again evidence that there's just, inflation is just more units in the system. But rather than going to interest rates, wouldn't you want it going into building your wealth?
Yeah.
And they could have controlled that and they didn't.
There's a final comment here, mate, that I missed before, but I think this one's really important. And basically someone said, we have only had stable inflation in recent decades because the global waters have been very calm. Now the water looks like being a lot more choppy. So is our inflation targeting regime fit for purpose? Sound familiar from a couple of years ago, mate? I think you can guess my answer. Hell no. We need a strategy for dealing with imported price spikes that doesn't rely on torpedoing disposable income, culling jobs and businesses, killing house building, and actually making goods and services more expensive. It's a dumb strategy. Letting imported price shocks embed into our economy for many months until the central bank manages to cause a recession. An inflation episode has also been prolonged by higher rates. The cost of credit has replaced high import prices as the main driver of businesses' costs. Now, it gets like pretty technical, but if we just go back to the top bit and just think about this, we have had stable inflation in recent decades because the global water has been calm. You look at what's happening in the world and you just think about New Zealand as well, of how much of a shaky country we are. And if we have a major natural disaster, we're not just going to say, hey guys, we don't have any money to pay for it, so we're going to have to create more money to do that. Is it likely that something will happen in the next 10 years? Yes. The whole, when we were growing up, like 1 in 100 year flood is not even fucking real anymore. It's like, well, stop calling it that. Or earthquake or whatever. Like, these things happen. So that's why I think it's been getting rammed down our throats as well. But it's gone quiet at the moment. But I think like when you start seeing it come back into commentary.
I can think of many.
Oh, no, just this line. I could tell me if you think you haven't heard it for a bit, but I think we'll start to hear it again soon, is yes, but we have a very low level of debt compared to other countries.
Yeah, fucking hell, here we go.
So when shit gets tough and we know deep down, like, okay, we're going to need to build some shit, fix some shit, whatever, change some stuff, the narrative will be reminding people we've got very low levels of debt compared to other countries, especially compared to GDP. We'll get the comparisons out of Australia and whatnot and America and these different countries. And then it will be like, bang, we're going to look at doing this massive change. Or like, here's our response to the cyclone or the next natural event that happens. And everyone will go, well, sweet, A, you can't not fix that. And B, yeah, you told us. Like, we don't actually have that high levels of debt. So again, get ready for more inflation,
because
that's what that will lead to.
Yeah.
So it's not going anywhere was the start. And I think it's basically the end where we can get excited about it not being here and it decreasing. But for the next decade, we're going to see it whether you like it or not. The hope is that the rate is lower. But fuck, man, I am not taking any chances when I start looking at a high level what this country has to go through. I'm foot on the gas going, nah, man, like I'll make my own decision.
Mm.
And the thing is, if I'm wrong and inflation is low, wicked. I'll be even further ahead.
Yeah, the downside risk of taking that approach is nothing.
Exactly.
So why not?
Well, baby, deep breath in. If inflation is here for a decade and it's high, we're all fucked. I think it's the, no.
Yeah.
We'll find ways to get through. But I guess the summary is like, don't be fooled and just tread very carefully and think critically about the stuff and continue to think, no matter what the narrative is out there, what could I be doing to protect my income and my family and my community and the things that I care about? Otherwise, you're going to get to the conclusion that New Zealand is not a place that you want to live in or raise your children in.
Just quickly, like how I unscared myself out of this stuff. Because like when you start looking into it, you're like, oh shit, like even 2% over your lifetime means that you lose like 75% of every dollar that you earn, sort of thing. when it starts compounding, which is terrifying. The way I scared myself out of it is like, oh, actually, this is happening faster than that. And probably by the time I die, we won't even have a New Zealand dollar.
Oh.
So that sounds scary on the face of it, but it's like, what it means for me is that it's inevitable. There is no hiding. This is coming no matter what. So plan accordingly and just get on with it.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. After hearing that, you're probably going to want to leave a thumbs down and not subscribe, or potentially even unsubscribe from the Keep the Change podcast. It's been fucking nice knowing you. We'll see you in a decade.